ॐ भूर्भुवस्व तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। ॐ मे वी मेडिटेट ऑन दैट सुप्रीम बीइंग हु ड्वेल्स इन द हार्ट्स ऑफ ऑल। He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move, and have our being. May He illumine our hearts and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Now I've been studying the Viveka Chudamani or Crest Jewel of Discrimination by the great seer philosopher Shankara. Now in the last chapter we have considered the nature of the Atman or the true self, and it has been pointed out that the Atman is ever free, blissful, immortal, unchangeable reality that is within us. Atman means I, the true self. In other words, when Jesus teaches the truth that the kingdom of heaven is within, it is just that. God is within. And that God is no other than my true self. What we know as ourself, as our ego, it will be brought out here, is just through ignorance. It's a false self. It is not the reality. It has no existence at all. It's a shadow. And we have to realize that Atman. When we say you have to realize God, that means realizing the Atman as God. And then it will be pointed out how the Atman in me and the Atman in you and Atman in the whole universe are not so many Atmans, but it is the one Atman, one God pervading the whole universe. And that God I am. I am in the sun, I am in the moon, I am in the stars, I am in the whole universe, and I am the self in all of you. You know, when Jesus reiterated that second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, the true explanation is that because thy neighbor is thy very self. It's not separate from yourself. You see, if I love somebody, it is loving the self. If I hate somebody, it is hating the self. That is why you will find in the lives of those who have attained that knowledge, it has to be attained. There's the covering. This covering has to be removed. And when that is removed, you will find, will not say, this is a sinner, this is a saint. You will not want to hurt anybody. Because to hurt another is to hurt yourself. You don't hurt anybody but hurt yourself. You know, in that beautiful and most famous dialogue which we read in the Upanishads, and that dialogue occurs in two places in the same Upanishad. Jagavalka, the great sage, is going to retire from the world, and his wife Maitreyi comes to him and says, "You are giving me all this wealth and going away by yourself to live a life in God. Can you tell me this wealth that you are giving me, would that make me immortal?" And to that Jagavalka replied, "No, that will make you happy in the worldly sense, not happy also, but your wants will be met." And then he said, "Now you have asked me this question. You were dear to me, now you have become dearer." Then he began to teach her. And the simple truth that he taught to his wife is this: none loves the husband for the sake of the husband, but for the sake of the self that is in the husband. None loves the wife, but for the sake of the wife, but none loves the wife, but for the sake of the wife, but for the sake of the self that is in the wife. And thus every expression of love that we find in the universe is the love of that self. Not the ego, not I, not this false I, but love of God. It is God. That expression of God that attracts us. And there will be no attachment, no selfishness, no idea of possession, if only we understand that simple truth. But, of course, it has to be attained, realized. Until then, we are just in ignorance, in great darkness. And so here he points out, in short, first in this one paragraph, he points out how to realize that Atman. It's something that you have to directly perceive, not an intellectual understanding, but an experience. You see, I am identifying myself with this ego, with the mind, senses, body. This is a direct, immediate experience with me. Now, in order to transcend that experience, we have to have another experience of the Atman as the Atman, not identified with anything else. It has to be a direct experience. So he says, with a controlled mind and an intellect which is made pure and tranquil, you must realize the Atman directly, within yourself. Know the Atman as the real I. Thus, you cross the shoreless ocean of worldliness, whose waves are birth and death, live always in the knowledge of identity with Brahman and be blessed. Now, of course, you see, you can live in that knowledge of identity with Brahman and be blessed when you have realized the Atman as the real I. That you have to take into consideration. You see, how can it be realized? Controlled mind. You see, the mind is in waves all the time, ripples and waves. You see, try to concentrate, try to meditate upon anything. And you find so many distractions are arising in the mind because those waves of thought. You see, psychologically we call them waves. But all thoughts, all distractions are waves in the mind. And those waves have to be controlled. Completely under control you have to bring them. And intellect, the discriminating power, that discrimination that has to be made pure and tranquil. Pure means we have to realize through our intellect, through our discrimination, that God alone is real, Atman alone is real. You know, this path of knowledge, when you meditate on the Atman, everything else is unreal. You have to deny everything else. Your ego and everything, which is very difficult. Now again, this very thing, this Atman, if you consider as your chosen ideal and is within. Now that is the practical thing for us, as long as we are identifying ourselves with the mind, senses, body. So he is distinct from all this, but is dwelling within the shrine of our own heart. That is the Atman. You know, I often explain this. Trinity of Christianity, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, this way. Father is Brahman. Son is the God incarnate. And Holy Ghost is the Atman. And these three are not three separate entities, but one being, one reality. So when you think of the Son, you are thinking of Brahman, and you are thinking of the Atman. You have to meditate upon Him within your own self, within the shrine of your own heart. And it is then that your intellect becomes tranquil, mind becomes calm, there comes the purity. It takes time, you have to meditate and meditate and meditate. Then you have to come to an understanding, not understanding, I say, you have to come to a realization, experience this way. He alone is real. No more craving or desire for anything else. I crave for nothing, I desire for nothing, but I just want you. We have to come to that stage. And then our mind becomes absorbed. Mind becomes tranquil, calm. And the truth of the Atman, the truth of God, infinite God, becomes revealed to us. Thus you cross the shoreless ocean of worldliness, whose waves are birth and death. You see, we call samsara, this worldliness. That which is shifting all the time, moving all the time, in a flux forever. That is called the world. And as we are attached to this world, as we do not have that knowledge and understanding and experience of God or Atman, so long what happens? We are shifting and moving with this world. And what is that? Birth, death, rebirth. And of course birth, death and rebirth, and then we suffer or enjoy, and there is no perpetual suffering or perpetual enjoyment in the world. Enjoyment and suffering, good and bad, we are experiencing. And we go through birth, death, rebirth. Until we wake up and hold on to that unchangeable reality. You know, when I first joined the monastery, one disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, he said to me, "Have you held on to the post, to the pillar?" And you see, that is what we have to do. That pillar is God, the Atman, the reality. And then you spin around, it doesn't harm you. That is, you live in the world then, but being is not of it, if you hold on to that pillar. And you know, the other day, one, I'd say, sort of experience came to me, and which I've read many times, and every one of you may have heard it many times, but it was something not from book knowledge, not from hearsay, but I felt it, I realized it. And this is the simple truth. As long as you hold on to that pillar, there's no problem for you. In other words, if you keep your mind merged in God, you have no problem. I'm just saying about, you know, in our, as a spiritual aspirant, as you proceed. Of course, when you have experienced and realized God, realized the Atman, that's again something different, something most wonderful. Then you live in that knowledge and always in bliss. Man is in bondage because he mistakes what is non-Atman for his real self. He takes the non-self for self. And this is caused by ignorance. Hence follows the misery of birth and death. Through ignorance, man identifies the Atman with the body. What is that non-Atman, non-self, that he identifies himself through ignorance? Man identifies the Atman with the body, taking the perishable for the real. That which is shifting, changing, dying, that you hold, try to hold on as real, something real. That is through ignorance. Therefore, he nourishes the body and anoints it and girds it carefully. He becomes enmeshed in the things of the senses like a caterpillar in the threads of its cocoon. You know, this great philosopher, seer philosopher, Shankara again, in another commentary of Vedanta aphorisms, in the very introduction, he points out how this ignorance works. You see, this ignorance, this maya, you cannot define, you cannot, there is no explanation for it, but this is a statement of facts, as Swamiji, I think Swami Vivekananda was the first, for the first time, he made it clear by stating that maya is not a theory. Maya is not an explanation, but maya is just a statement of facts. And this Shankara points out this way. I and this are so distinct and separate, like light and darkness. They are opposed to each other. But through some inscrutable power, which is rather inexplainable, he says, anirvachaniya, cannot be explained how it happened. But it has happened. The marriage between I and this has happened. How, we don't know. inexplainable, only we can say through the inscrutable power. Then he says, for instance, you can distinguish that you are separate from the body. Anybody with a little understanding and intellect can find that he is separate from the body. Yet, you say, I weigh so many pounds, I am dark or I am fair. You see, this is just a statement of facts. This has happened. You are the Atman, that divine self. But identifying yourself with the body, with the mind and the moods of the mind, a wave of suffering arises in the mind, a depression arises in the mind, and you are depressed. A wave of elation arises in the mind, and you are elated. But all the time your true nature is blissful, unchangeably, all the time. Perpetual bliss is its nature. Deluded by his ignorance, a man mistakes one thing for another. Lack of discernment will cause a man to think that a snake is a piece of rope. When he grasps it in this belief, he runs a great risk. You see, this is very interesting. Generally, Shankara uses the illustration of rope, and rope is taken as snake. But here he says, the snake is taken as a rope and then you are in trouble. When he grasps it in this belief, he runs a great risk. The acceptance of the unreal as real constitutes the state of bondage. Pay heed to this, my friend. You see, that is the bondage. To hug the unreal as real. The Atman is indivisible, eternal, one without a second. It is eternally made manifest by the power of its own knowledge. Its glories are infinite. Again, he's repeating the nature of the Atman. Its glories are infinite. The veil of tamas hides the true nature of the Atman, just as an eclipse hides the rays of the sun. Now there are these three gunas which make up this maya, this power. Call it prakriti or maya or shakti, you see. That is the same substance. And it is composed of the three gunas. Three gunas are sattva, rajas and tamas. And this body made up of three gunas, mind is made up of three gunas, the universe of mind and matter made up of the three gunas. In other words, the universe of mind and matter are the expressions of that power, inscrutable. And then again, these three gunas, you see, they can be translated as energies. And of these again, tamas is that which hides the reality. Tamas is darkness, hides the reality. Then rajas brings activity. That unreal is taken as real, and then there is the activity. Pleasures, enjoyment, pain, suffering, all these. But sattva, again, helps you to move towards the Atma. You know, Sri Ramakrishna told a story about these three gunas. Very interesting. Those of you who have read the Gospel will remember it. He said there were three robbers. A rich man was going through a jungle, and there were three robbers. First they took away everything he had, and then one robber said, "Well, this fellow, if we keep him alive, he might report us." Then another fellow said, "No, why keep him? Why kill him? Again we shall be in greater trouble. We better bind him so that he can't go, can't move just now." So they bound him on a tree. And then one of these three robbers comes back and unties the bondage. And then he says, "Come along with me, I'll show you your village, how to go there." And then, of course, as they were moving along, this rich man told this robber, "You have helped me so much. Please come with me and be my guest." Then he says, "Oh no, I can't go to the village. The police will get me." So these three robbers are Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Tamas wants to kill. Rajas says, "Oh, that's too much. Bind him." Sattva releases him, shows him the way, but he cannot reach the Atman. He cannot reach God. He can show the way. In other words, when you attain God, you have transcended the gunas. You have transcended the universe of mind and matter. When the pure rays of the Atman are thus concealed, you see, through tamas, the deluded man identifies himself with his body, which is non-Atman. Then Rajas, which has the power of projecting illusory forms, afflicts him sorely. It binds him with chains of lust, anger, and the other passions. His mind becomes perverted. His consciousness of the Atman is swallowed up by the shark of total ignorance. Yielding to the power of Rajas, he identifies himself with the many motions and changes of mind. Therefore, he is swept hither and thither, now rising, now sinking, in the boundless ocean of birth and death, whose waters are full of the poison of sense object. This is indeed a miserable fate. The sun's rays bring forth layers of cloud. Beautiful illustration here. The sun's rays bring forth layers of cloud. By them, the sun is concealed. And so it appears that the clouds alone exist. In the same way, the ego, which is brought forth by the Atman, hides the true nature of the Atman. And so it appears that the ego alone exists. You see, sun draws water and clouds form, and that hides the sun. The Atman, identifying itself with body, mind and senses, there comes a cloud of ignorance. And then, as we see the clouds and we think, now that's the thing, there is no sun. Similarly, we identify ourselves with the ego. And we consider the ego as the self. Now, in this connection, let me point out one thing. You see, take Western psychology. And it considers the ego as the self. There is nothing beyond the ego. So you see, their whole psychology is covered by clouds of ignorance. You see, that's not psychology. Unless you have the understanding there is something separate, something different, something apart from the ego. You see, you have no psychology. You are talking about Hamlet without Hamlet. Now may I invite questions?
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording.
Ask something.
Is the Atman then responsible for Maya?
Not that. You see, not exactly. Atman does not do anything but stays there. Or because of the presence of the Atman, you see, there is this identification has happened. So Atman really is not the cause from that standpoint. But from another standpoint, you see, Atman is God. And God is playing all this Maya, all this ignorance also. He causes it, no doubt. You see, that's what Sri Ramakrishna at one time said. I can't say God is all good. He is good and he is evil too. But again, you see, as long as you have this sense of ego, you are responsible for it. Not God, not the Atman. The moment you realize, all right, God alone is the cause of everything, you see, then you will find that whatever thought comes to you, coming from God. Whatever action proceeds from you, come from God. You become an illumined soul immediately. But, you see, your sense of ego makes you say things, do things, you see. Nothing to do with God there. Go and ask.
It seems so simple, but it is not so simple. If one could just realize that they are the Atman, this world would become a paradise.
Then there would not be any world at all. If we all realized the Atman at one time, the whole world would fall to pieces. There would be no world. You see, that's the play of Mother, play of God. That's why all do not become illumined at one time, you see.
And never will be?
No. But in ages to come, there's some ages there will be more illumined souls. In other ages, less number. That's the difference.
In trying to see the Atman in other people, one doesn't have to wait for illumination to do that.
No, I didn't say that you have to wait for illumination. I said you must practice that. That is the practice. Love thy neighbor as thyself, because your neighbor is yourself. This is a practice. This is a discipline. No, if you wait for anything after you have been illumined, you will never become illumined. Yes.
The three gunas, which are the power behind everything, do they merely comprise the way we look at the universe, or do they have an actual existence?
Yes, they have the existence, because we are very tangible. For instance, when there is calmness in your mind, that's the work of the satta, predominance of satta. When you become passionate, there is predominance of rajas. When you are asleep and dull, predominance of tamas. you see. In nature, in the universe, you see beauty. There is the predominance of satta. Then volcanic eruptions and things like that, there is the expression of rajas. And then you see ugliness in nature, tamas.
People may see things differently. For instance, some might see a volcano as beautiful.
You may see it beautiful, but it is the work of rajas. That has nothing to do with it. You may think your past passions are wonderful, but still passions are rajas. That your thinking doesn't change the gunas. You see, tamas, for instance, when one is dull and he's quite happy, so you may say, now this is what I like. All right, that's tamas. Well, go on, ask. Yes.
Is the Atman dwelling behind the gunas?
Atman is beyond the gunas. Yeah. Atman is beyond the gunas. Atman transcends the gunas.
Is there an Atman for this body separate from the Atman that...
No. There is one Atman. One God. One reality. And he is your Atman, he is my Atman, he is everybody's Atman.
Well, is it the Atman that dwells in the body too?
Yes, he's within, yes. Your consciousness, you see, that consciousness comes from the Atman.
Then why can't you identify yourself with the body then?
When you are identifying yourself with the body through ignorance. Your body is not the Atman.
Then what supports the body?
Suppose Atman supports the body. Does that mean Atman is the body? That's the whole ignorance. And I've been trying to take you out of that ignorance.
But if you see the Atman in everything, why can't you see it in your own body?
But unfortunately, your own body dies and changes. And Atman does not change, does not die. So that's the whole trouble. You are seeing the Atman in your body. I don't have to tell you that. You are doing that. And as such, you are dying and you are being born and go through all the worldly experiences, suffer and enjoy and go through this life. That's what you are doing. Everybody is doing that. If you say, why can't I identify myself with the body? Of course you are doing that. That's your ignorance. And by doing that, how far do you go? You die. All right, you're dead and gone. Body is subject to birth, growth, disease, decay, death. And if you consider that as Atman, well, you become subject to all those.
But the force that makes the body grow, decay, and die, isn't that the power of the Atman?
Good. So identify yourself with the body and go through this disease, decay, and death. Don't you want to come out of all that? What are you arguing about? Do you want to remain in body sick or health and then die? If that is what you seek, you don't need to come to religion at all. You don't have to have any understanding at all. Go on arguing and just say, I am the body. Good.
I'm trying to understand where this force comes from that makes this body.
Well, that's what I said, that somehow through some inscrutable power there is this identification of the Atman with the non-Atman. It has happened. We don't know how it has happened, but we know how to get out of this. So if you don't want to get out of this, okay. You see what Buddha said. A man was lying, somebody shot an arrow, and he was suffering from the arrow. The doctor comes and says, wants to take it out. He says, no, no, don't take it out. I want to know first, who shot the arrow? Is he a tall man or a short man? Is he dark or is he fair? Then only I'll let you take out the arrow. I think you have got your answer. Om Hari Om. Om Sahana Bhavatu. Sahanau bhunaktu sahavirjam karavavahai tejasi navadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om. May Brahman protect us, may he guide us, may he give us strength and right understanding, may we have love for all, may our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.